Well, you know, the last week, if anybody wasn't here, Brother Doug was here, and Doug Fortune, and he talked about the grace of God, you know. And I was kind of questioning the Lord what I should do this morning, you know, how I should approach everything this morning, you know. And what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to do something a little different today. I'm going to come out there because I know a lot of you that message impacted you because I heard people talking about how good they thought it was and everything. I'm going to come out there in a few minutes with a microphone, and I'm going to let you tell people what you think about the grace of God. And we'll give some of you all a chance to speak up and even talk about how that message ministered to you, or you know, how God has revealed his grace to you. And I think a lot of times we don't get enough opportunity to share little testimonies or what God's revealed to us, and we're going to do that this morning. And then I got a couple of verses up here I'm going to share with you after that. But is it the red one? Okay, I got the red one, Curtis.
Testing.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Who'd like to go first? Ah, come on now. Let's don't everybody chicken out on me now. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll go first if nobody else will. I thank God for his grace and his mercy. And you know, when Jesus came, he came to reveal the grace of God. And he revealed it in such a way that it's the greatest gift, it's the greatest present that we could ever have. Because it's just his mercy extended toward us in forgiveness and love and in total reconciliation, if we'll have it. He's totally reconciled us already. And he's given us a word of reconciliation to creation. And we need to speak that word. I love that scripture that Brother Doug shared last week about letting your conversation be seasoned with salt and grace, you know, to the hearers. And you know, we need to extend the grace of God to everybody we go out there and meet. You know, when he was preaching his sermon, I was thinking of that scripture in Galatians where it says, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spiritual meekness. When you see a man overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And you know, a lot of times Christians have a tendency, if they're not careful, when they see someone overtaken in a fault, they start pointing at the fault. And they need to start pointing at the grace of God and the mercy and the forgiveness of God, because that's what it was all about when Jesus gave his life on Calvary. And the neat thing is, he not only gave his life, but he rose from the dead. And if he hadn't rose from the dead, then we'd be in bad shape, because we wouldn't be able to rise in newness of life. Okay, now, I've talked a little bit now. Who wants to tell me something about the grace of God? Okay. Sure.
I like to thank God for his grace because I didn't earn it.
That's right.
And I gave up the idea of ever trying to. But I want to thank God for his grace that he gave me my mother. And that he gave me all the women in my life that I've ever known that have shown me grace that I didn't deserve. My wife. God's graceful in every aspect of our lives. I would encourage everyone to look to grace. Look for it. You won't be disappointed. You'll find it.
Anybody else?
I'd like to thank God for his keeping power. He's kept me through many, many accidents. And I'd like to thank him for also giving me a hunger for his word. As of late, I've really gotten into studying the word, and I thank God for that. And I thank, like Clyde, I thank God for a praying mother and a father. I just am so thankful for the way they brought me and the way they taught me.
Amen.
And I'm just so thankful for that. I thank God for his grace.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm glad Lonnie said what he did, because it went along with what I was thinking. I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for the grace of God. I can think from the time I was, before I was born and all through my life, that there have been times I shouldn't be here. And it was the grace of God. I thank God for that. I don't think we'd have been married 65 years if it wouldn't have been for the grace of God. The grace of God is everything. No, truly. I know it. Listen, we all need it. How badly we need it. But I thank God that I found the Lord when I was just 14 years old. It was a miracle. And found out my grandmother, my precious little grandmother, had been saved for a year at the age of about 40. And she had prayed for us for a whole year. And I wrote her a letter and told her. And the letter came back from her: I've been praying for y'all for a year. And the Lord moved on a little girl to take me to church. And God has been so good. I can't express enough the wonder of the grace of God.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else?
I should probably talk.
Well, I want to get you on here. Sure. Yeah. Here.
I'm usually so loud. People
that's
all right. Calm down.
I think the common teaching, you know, of grace is unmerited favor. Unmerited, something you could not earn. Mm-hmm. And I know that in my own life, I stand back and when I talk about the transformation, what has happened. Mm-hmm. One day, you know, I'm expecting you just to come completely unglued and just fall down on your face, just crying and praising God, mm-hmm. because your emotions just flow from the grace that has been bestowed upon you. Mm-hmm. And I just truly believe that even myself, it's hard to contain my emotions when I speak about unmerited, mm-hmm. this thing that I did not deserve.
Praise the Lord.
That God sent his son to die in my place. And we come up on this time when we celebrate this birth of this individual who was all man and all God at the same time. And in reality, I stand back and think, my gosh, the Word became flesh. In the context of everything that we're taught, everything that we read in Scripture, that Word became flesh. Mm-hmm. It's not like what we think. You know, God's ways are not our ways. We can't imagine what it really means to offer up your son and to give people the ability to reach out to and through grace. Reach through grace to reach to God. Mm-hmm. And I stand back and go, you know, how do you walk this out? How do you walk this grace thing out? And thank God that I don't have to. Mm-hmm. That I don't really have to put forth this tremendous effort. You know, that's works. And I stand before you, a man who literally has had, I got some skeletons in my closet, okay? Mm-hmm. And I stand back and know that God had a tremendous amount of things to overlook, okay? I truly beg the Lord every day. I beg him, you know, for the lives of my sons, my daughters. I beg him to reveal himself to each and every one of them. And I just pray that for all of you all, there's somebody here that really doesn't know the Lord, that our Savior reveals himself so adamantly to you that you come to the point where you can't talk. You literally can't. You have trouble expressing this thing that you can barely describe, but it's in you, and you know it is in you. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'll give you the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance has a definition of grace, and it is unmerited favor, but the Strong's definition of it is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection into the life. And I love that. because until his influence came upon us, we didn't have a chance. We were out in the world and we were lost in the sense that we didn't know where we were going, and most of us were in a mess. And yet when his divine influence began to come upon our hearts and it started reflecting out into our lives, and we began to change. And you know, I love that song, we're being changed from glory to glory. We're being rearranged by the blood of the Lamb, translated, transfigured in the image of Jesus. Beholding his face, we're running the race. We're being changed. And you know, that's the truth. And it's the grace of God that's changing us. It's not that we're good people and we can change ourselves. Heck, most of us, a lot of us would be in jail or under the jail, you know, if we got what we deserve. But I tell you what, that isn't what it's all about. And God, he extended his love, his mercy, and his grace, and revealed it in Jesus Christ. And then he's extended it to us. And he extended it to people in the Old Testament too, the grace of God. But yet he revealed the true grace of God, what it was all about, in Jesus. Because grace and truth came by him. And if it wasn't for him coming, we'd never know the truth about even what God's desire for us is. Praise the Lord.
Just like the song Amazing Grace. I mean, it truly is amazing when you really think about it. And when I first heard that working definition of grace, it changed me. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, yes, I thank God for his grace and I receive that grace, but it has to be imparted to others. And so the times you don't feel like imparting it to others because they don't deserve it, neither did you.
That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Okay. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, he who has begun a good work in you.
Amen.
Who begun it?
He did.
Yeah. I like that scripture that Oscar just spoke about, how grace is the divine influence upon the heart.
Amen.
Because I often wondered how I got saved, because I was in a hotel room, mm-hmm. and I wasn't, you know, down on my knees saying, Lord, come into my life. He just appeared to me and he says, you've been forgiven. Now go walk in love. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, that wasn't the Baptist way of doing things. I thought you had to walk down the aisle and, as Lynn Howell says, throw snot all over the altar and ask the Lord to come into your life.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, you know, Isaiah says, I've been revealed to those who have never inquired of me.
Right.
I revealed myself to those people who never even asked of me. And to me, God started the whole salvation and redemption plan with grace. It says, it's by grace that you are saved through faith, which is the gift of God.
Mm-hmm.
A dead man cannot resurrect himself.
That's right.
A dead man, and we were dead in our sins and our trespasses.
That's right.
And we could not resurrect ourselves. We couldn't get up out of that casket and say, hey, you know. But by this supernatural impartation of this divine faith of God, he gave us the ability to believe in a God that we couldn't see with these eyes. So it was by grace that you were saved through this faith that God imparted to you.
Mm-hmm.
It was the gift of God, not of any works. Oh, but I'm glad I received Jesus Christ. I got down on my knees and I cried and I asked God to go. Not of any works.
That's right.
It is the grace of God. And then when God started this salvation plan in our heart, then I heard a preacher talk one time about the definition of grace was when the trapeze artist went up and he was walking across the wire and he fell, and there's this big net that caught him. And he fell into the net, which is the grace of God, like we do. We go up, we get out into places where we get ourselves in all kind of problems, and we fall off the wire, and there's this big net of grace.
Amen.
And, you know, you bounce a little bit, and then you get right back up on the ladder, and God gives you the strength to go right back up and get back on the wire again. So he started this salvation, and he carries us all the way through. And then the last verse in the New Testament, in the book of Revelations, Revelations 22:21, the very last verse in the book, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. He started it. He stays with us all the way when we do our trapeze thing, you know. And in the end, may the grace of God be with you all.
Amen.
He starts it and he finishes it. He who has begun a good work in you will bring it forth to completion.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And I also would like to say that that scripture he shared about, you know, about grace and about faith, you know, a lot of people might say, but I don't have any faith. But that's not true. The scripture says to every man was dealt a measure of faith. Now, it might not be activated in you yet. It's there. And that's where even that word that Doug shared with us last week about us speaking with grace and being salt to people. A lot of times when you go forth and you begin to speak about the love of God and the mercy of God to other people, what will happen is you will begin to activate that faith in them. And all of a sudden that faith starts rising up and people's lives can be changed. And I'm like Jim. I didn't get saved in church. I hadn't been in church for years since I was a little kid. I think I quit going to church with my mother when I was about 11 or 12 years old. She didn't make us go. But I quit going when I was about 11 or 12 because I felt guilty all the time when I went. Because I was doing all kind of stuff I shouldn't have been doing, you know. But you know what? The Lord reached down and sovereignly got a hold of me. And I got to where I didn't care if I lived or died. That's how bad I had to get. I was married to Margaret. We had one little kid, Jennifer. And I didn't care if I lived or died. I was getting to the point I couldn't hardly work, couldn't do nothing. And then finally, I just went in the bathroom one day and I said, and I knew God had been dealing with me. He'd been dealing with me from the time I was a kid. And I went in the bathroom and I said, Lord, I can't run from you no more. I have to have you in my life. And buddy, he came in. And he came in like a flood when I did that. And that's the thing about the grace of God. It's not something you deserve. It's not something that you do something to make it happen. It's extended to you. It's extended to everyone. But, you know, religion a lot of times tells you you got to do certain things and do it a certain way and use some formula or 15 steps or whatever it is. You know, that's not about, it's not about all that. It's about receiving the gift, the free gift that he's given you. That faith, that grace, that love, that mercy. And I tell you, when you receive that, it's the greatest gift you could ever get. You can't get any better gift than that. Anybody else?
I want to thank God for his saving grace, and I want to certainly thank God for how he moved through my dear sister Betty. Mm-hmm. When I was a teenager doing my thing, a group of us was hanging out on the street where we were all going down where this restaurant was. Mm-hmm. And Betty said her and some other women were upstairs above this restaurant, looked out the window, and they began to pray for me. And I, from then, had moved to California, got married, moved to California and all, and come back. And God drew me in his saving grace, and who ministered to me and helped me through was a spiritual mother, was Betty.
Praise the Lord.
She's been such a blessing to me, and God has used her to bring many unto Christ.
Praise the Lord.
And I know now she's going through some things, but the Christ is so alive within her.
Yes.
And she ministers, and God will take certain times, even in the home where she's staying now, how God ministers through her. And so I just thank God for his saving grace. And no matter how sometimes we may be going through things and maybe things may not be clear in our minds, but the spirit within you is the same and the Christ is still real within you.
Amen.
And he ministers through her, us, and others as he see fit. And I thank God for that.
Praise God. Praise God.
Anybody else? Okay. Here, you want me to hold it for you? Yeah.
I'm so thankful for the grace of God, and I'm like everybody else. I sure didn't deserve it, but he loved me anyway. Okay. And as a result, I think he wants God to be defined to the whole human race. Yeah. And the definition of God is love. And, of course, we know that that love was poured out and flows yet today. And I think a lot of times if we realized our responsibility or our privilege, I guess I'd better say, to be able to be not only recipients of that grace, but givers of that grace as well.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else?
Get something.
Well, hold on a minute.
The last couple of weeks, you've been talking about J.B. Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
And it says if reality was to break forth.
That's right.
I started teaching the teenagers today about reality. See, what we've done is we're no longer under the law. We're under the grace.
That's right.
And the reality is it's about ready to break forth for the world. It's about ready to break forth for the world. Amen. Because we're looking at the world and we know there's no hope in this world other than Jesus Christ.
Right. That's
Amen?
Right. That's right.
And so reality's about ready to break forth, and I'm getting the kids to be anxious about it, because when you're anxious, you're participating and you're anticipating that it's going to happen. And you know what you do? You start talking about things you don't know nothing about. Anybody ever done that? No, that's just me. You start telling people of the future. Well, you know what? Our future is the grace of Jesus Christ that is always, he gives us mercy when we don't deserve it.
Amen.
His mercy is fresh and new every day. He is so consistent and so faithful, the world's getting ready to get reality, and they're getting ready to get Jesus.
Yes, amen. That scripture he was talking about in Phillips in Romans, the 8th chapter, it says that creation cannot as yet see reality, not because it chooses to be blind,
yeah,
but because it's been so limited, but yet given hope. And you know, the word for hope usually in scripture means to anticipate, usually with pleasure.
Yes.
And it also says in Phillips, it says, all creation is standing on tiptoe, waiting to see the glorious unveiling of God's sons, basically is what it says, because they're going to be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. When I read that scripture, I can remember as a kid going around construction sites, and they used to put these big walls up around these construction sites to keep the debris, and they'd be tearing these buildings down with them big bulldozers and those big, whatever they called them, almost, well, I say steam shovel, but that's really making me old. But, but it was a big shovel, and I could go up to those walls, and I'd try to get on my tiptoes just to look over that wall and see what was on the other side, because I'd hear all that noise and stuff. And that's the way creation is. And you wonder why they're so anxious out there and why they're so upset all the time. They know something's happening, but they don't know what. And you know what? It's time for us to begin to tell them what's happening. That God's getting ready to reveal himself to creation. And when he does, he's going to do it in his body, the church. He's going to reveal himself in the church. Because in Romans 8 chapter says, I reckon the suffering of this present times not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Not to us, but in us.
Yes.
And see, when it's revealed in us, they're going to begin to see the love of God and the mercy of God. And that's what that grace is all about.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else? How about you, Cynthia? I know you got something to say. You're over there glowing. I mean, literally glowing. You got something to say?
Well, yes. Hopefully you can take me seriously given my apparel here.
We love you.
I don't think it gets much uglier than this. But when I think about grace and God has been just dealing with me on grace for years, but along with the definition of the divine influence of God, he made it really personal for me. Grace is the divine influence of God upon my life that causes me to be who he has purposed for me to be.
Amen.
In the earth, and to do what he has purposed for me to do in the earth. And what God has been really dealing with me on all of my life, it seems like it's been the grace that I have shown you and imparted into you, that's what you need to have towards others. And he continues to put me in situations, even as a teacher, you know, of children. They need grace. They need grace to grow.
Right.
And that's what he's given me specifically for them. And I'm reminded of a scripture, and Peter and one of the other disciples, I don't know if it was John or who it was, but when they were entering into either an edifice or a church, or I'm not sure where it was they were entering into, and there was a man standing there who was lame with this little cup begging for alms, you know, and they looked at him and said, Peter said, look upon me. And when he looked at him, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man got up leaping. And that's what God has told me. Such as I have given you, that's what you give.
Right.
I have given you grace. And I have given you grace, and he gave me a word a few months ago, grace for the place. Whatever place that we find ourselves in life, if it's on the mountaintop where we're rejoicing, if it's in the valley, if we're in a place of transition, he's shown us grace. And that's the same grace that he wants us to show towards other people. And you know, I've heard so many times, I've read in different books and the phrase, let's see, what is it? Lord, I thank you for not giving me what I deserve.
Amen.
I thank you, God, for not giving me what I deserve, right? Because I didn't deserve the grace.
That's right.
I was not always in a place where I was doing what you were telling me to do. I was being with you. I didn't always walk in the way. And I'm talking even as believers. You know, a lot of times we feel like, well, you know, I'm saved now. I've never done anything that I shouldn't have. I've never had a bad thought. I've never had. That's religion. And we need to kick that to the curb, because religion doesn't help anybody. Sure. It's a lie from the pit. Okay. The reality of it is that we are who God says we are. We are the righteousness of God. We're living this life in the flesh. And there's always this war going on between the flesh and the spirit, even within our own lives. And we have to call those things, Clyde, that are not as though they are. We have to realize that, you know, yes, I make mistakes, you know, but God says that if I confess my sins to him, that he is faithful and just to cleanse me of all unrighteousness, and forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So the reality of it is that it's his grace that covers us. In those times when, no, I messed up, okay? I messed up. I acknowledge that I messed up. But it's his grace that covers us and still shows us that love. But it's also that same grace that he's shown to us that we need to show to others over and over and over and over again. And working with children, I see it all. It's like, just 5 minutes ago, I asked you not to do that, and here you are doing that again. I mean, and a lot of times it's the grace, even in the way we deal with people. We have to allow people grace to grow.
Right.
And that's what God has been imparting into me pretty much all my life, because he's shown me so much. When I look at the things that I've been through in my life, you know, God has shown me so much grace, and he's saying, such as I have given you, that's what you need to give and impart into others.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Anybody else? This is your opportunity. Praise the Lord. Susan? Praise God.
At work, in the elevator, I have, they put usually probably somebody that's done something nice or something good. They give them a little credit and say their name and what they did and what their accomplishment was, but this past 2 weeks in the elevator in that place is Micah 6:8 that says, what does God require of you but to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God.
Amen.
And that kind of hits me every time I'm in that elevator, and hopefully it's hitting a lot of other people that are in that get in that elevator. Yeah. How important it is to God gave us grace and mercy to impart it to other people. And like Cynthia said, when you're dealing with public that sometimes gets on your last nerve or something's, you know, not the way you would like it to be or whatever, it reminds us that that's what God requires of us, is he gave to us everything, and he requires us to give back a little bit.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
Isn't it wonderful that he didn't put out in that scripture 25 rules or 15 other things you got to do, just to love mercy and to extend that grace back toward other people and walk humbly before your God. And you know, a lot of times people think when you talk about humbleness, they think that means you just are weak and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And that's not really what that means, because Moses was one of the most humble men on the face of the earth, and God called him to stand up to Pharaoh. And when he stood up to Pharaoh, he stood up in the strength of the Lord. And that whole kingdom was beginning to come down, you know. And, you know, we need to realize that, humbleness is not weakness, but it's strength under control. And it's strength under the control of the Holy Spirit. See, that's where his strength is made perfect in your weakness. Praise God. Anybody else? Okay, Debbie. I knew you was hiding over there somewhere.
I knew you was getting over here sooner or later. I don't remember who said this years ago, but we were talking about grace, and someone made this statement, and it's not a greasy grace.
No.
Was that Clyde, Brother Eddie? I'm not sure Brother who that Eddie was. Brother Eddie, you say it's not a greasy grace.
Right.
And three times last week when Doug was talking, and he would say that word grace, I heard the words of my spirit three separate times last week, and it's not a greasy grace.
No.
So whatever that means to anybody, I mean, it meant something to me, but it's not a greasy grace.
Praise the Lord. You know, greasy stuff clogs up your arteries and takes your life away. And you know what? His grace gives you life. It's a life extender. It will take you into greater life. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Sherry, you got anything you want to say over there? Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. Levine, you got anything you want to say? Yes. Well, I want to say something to you, okay? Let me pray for you a minute. For surely, my daughter, I would declare unto thee, I'm going to release you back into a prophetic word, and I want you to open your heart and open your mouth as my spirit does move upon you. For surely, I desire to speak through you at times, and you're holding back. And I'd say unto you, don't hold back, but release yourself into my presence. And know that I'm going to speak through you, and I'll speak a word that will release other people's lives. Thus saith the Lord. Praise God. You encourage her here. Praise the Lord. Yes.
You asked me if I had something to say. Debbie said that Brother Eddie didn't used to say that greasy grace.
Mm-hmm.
What comes to mind to me is when something's greasy, you can't hold on to it.
That's right.
But we can hold on to the grace of the Lord
That's
Jesus
right.
Christ.
Praise God. That's good. That's good. Anybody else? Okay.
And it just comes to my mind as grace is freedom from death.
Mm-hmm.
And thank goodness, because before I knew the Lord, I don't know how many times I could have been gone. But by the grace of God, he's saved me and he's brought me to these wonderful people that allowed me to.
Go ahead. Praise the Lord.
Be saved.
Anybody up there in the booth got anything? Y'all hiding up in that booth up there? Anybody got anything to say up there? I know you guys are working up there. How about you, Curtis? You got something? I bet you got something real good. You ain't even got a good joke for us this morning? Okay, Curtis tells the best jokes. He's my favorite joke teller. Okay, I'm going to go up here and share a little bit of the word with you. I didn't have a whole lot of scriptures this morning, but I'm going to share with you what I felt like the Lord gave me. And, you know, I felt like he wanted me to do what we just did. And the first scripture I want to share with you is Genesis 6:8. And Doug read this last week, but he didn't go into it a lot. But it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the first place that the word grace appears in the Bible. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you know, sometimes to find something, you got to be looking for it. You know, when I'm at home and I lose something, inevitably I have to go get Margaret and say, Margaret, help me find this. And she'll go right back where I looked and usually find it laying there right next to where I looked over top of it or something. But occasionally I've kidded her about having secret hiding place, because sometimes years ago, she'd get a new picture of the kids that she was going to give to the grandparents or something. And she'd say, well, I'm going to put this up so it stays good. And sometimes we never found those pictures again. She put it up really good. She put it in her secret hiding place, wherever that was. But, you know, I love even that God called him Noah. Noah means rest, and it comes from the word that means a resting place. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're going to find grace in the eyes of the Lord, you have to enter into a resting place in him. You have to begin to give him everything that's bothering you. And I just said back there in Sunday school, Rich was talking about he had a really rough week. You know, he'd had a rough time. And I told him, I said, I've had a rough 3 weeks. I said, you know, and I have. And, you know, I've found myself grumbling and complaining and doing things that I know I shouldn't be doing. But, you know, thank God for the grace of God. Because the grace is extended to you, and you know it is. And you know, his love and his mercy is always there, you know. In Colossians 4, 5, and 6, and Doug did share this last week, and I thought this was very good. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And you know, if you'll ask God before you even speak to somebody, if they're talking to you, how should I answer this person? You'll find that he'll extend the grace of God to you, and you'll give them the right answer. You'll give them the answer that they need. It might not be the one they want, but it'll be the one they actually need. You know, when it talks about let your speech be always with grace and seasoned with salt. Now, I'm going to talk to you just for a minute about salt, and then I'll close. You can ask Margaret. I love salt. She cooks, and she'll season things. She'll say, that don't need no salt. And guess what? I grab the salt shaker and go, you know, I don't have high blood pressure. I'm blessed with that. Thank God, because I love salt. I'd probably die if I did. I love salt. But you know, I've noticed this, that when I go to a restaurant, if I go to McDonald's or someplace like that, half of the time when they give me their French fries, they are so salty, guess what you can only taste? Just the salt. You can't taste the French fry. You can't taste the potato at all. And you know, when you begin to be seasoned with salt when you speak to other people, guess what's going to stick in their life? Just the salt that you seasoned them with. That's going to overcome anything else that's going there. And you know, that's a wonderful thing when you think of salt in that way. And a lot of times people say, well, salt's not really good for you. Yes, it is, because you get iodine in your system through salt. And I know when I used to play softball years ago, a lot of times before I would go to those games, I would eat a bunch of real salty pretzels. And it would help me retain water when I was out there running around, and I wouldn't get overheated. And they used to give you, which they don't do it too much anymore, but if you worked in hot plants or something, they'd give you salt pills. And it was to keep you from dehydrating. And you know, salt helps keep the water in you. And you know what water is. It's a type of the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, let your conversation, and I believe that was an excellent word, and anybody that didn't really hear those two messages last week, you should try to get them and listen to them. Let your conversation be with grace, seasoned with salt, that the hearer that hears it, you know, you know how to answer every man. And I'm going to tell you, when you pour that salt into their life, they're going to taste the salt. Praise the Lord. Okay. That's all I felt like I was going to supposed to share with you today. So if you all will stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. And we're going to have the dinner back there today. And I was so tickled to hear about your daughter, you know, with the baby. I thought, oh, that's wonderful. And we're just trusting the Lord that everything's going to work out just fine. And you're going to really be blessed. And I believe that with all my heart. You're going to be tremendously blessed. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your words. I thank you for these testimonies today about your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we could talk about grace from here through eternity, because your grace is extended to every man. And Father, I just thank you that you love us enough to have appeared as the grace and truth that, Father, we can really begin to understand through your love and your mercy that you presented to us through Jesus Christ, what grace really is all about. You know, Jesus, he loved people. He gave himself. He was beaten and just mistreated and hung on a cross. And, you know, It says he opened not his mouth. He was like a lamb before his shearers. He didn't open his mouth. The only thing that he did say as he hung on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And you know what? The Father forgave them because they knew not what they do. Because that's what Jesus was all about. So, Lord, we just thank you for your tender love, your tender mercy, that wonderful grace that you extend to us, that wonderful mercy. And help us extend that to everybody that we come in contact with. And, Father, I just ask you to bless Brother Doug as he travels on in you. And I think you're going to begin to open things up for him and restore things for him. And there's going to be some wonderful things happen in that man's life. I just thank you for what you're doing there. And, Father, just give us ears to hear what your Spirit would speak to us on a daily basis, that truly we can be obedient and extend that grace to every man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If anybody would like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Praise God.